Sure. Welcome to El Paso Primetime, Deke. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Good. Got that coffee going, got everything happening, and got to be happy about what's going on with micro shelters, this new creation of yours.
Yeah, this book in a week and a half has outsold my other book, number-wise, what took 2 years to achieve. So it's been like, oh, my God, it's doing so well. It's been for 2 weeks, number one carpentry book on Amazon, and that's like, I didn't think it would do anything like that. So it struck some kind of chord with people, which I'm happy about.
Well, I think a lot of it is also, you know, you've got that star factor happening with HGTV and your show, the Tiny House Builders and all that. Plus, you've been all over the place. So it's not like no one knows who Deedrason is. But the whole concept of having a micro shelter, you know, it's kind of like a play on your treehouse, which incidentally you have a picture of one in your book.
Yeah, I actually have a whole chapter in treehouse. It's a pretty eclectic book, so it's not just there's like 12 tiny houses. Then we go into other chapters with treehouses, backyard offices, like hobby sheds, man caves, she sheds, and even at one point we just show some really unusual like clubhouses and kids forts where ideas and concepts could be gleaned from those and worked into actual tiny houses, and that's kind of the point. Very eclectic, all over the place, got some plan sets in there, too.
Yeah, I really like the way that this whole concept has been revived, if you will. I mean, think about it. Back in the 30s and 40s, the Alley-Oop cartoon had that one guy that had the tricycle with a tiny house in the back.
Well, you look on Pinterest, you're going to find a couple Model T and Model A conversions with tiny houses, like cabins on the back, complete with like a wood stove, little flue chimney and all that. So it's been around for a while. Then you go back to Plymouth Plantation, Jamestown, all those houses were tiny and packed with children, too. So it's been done for a while.
Why do you think the resurgence is coming back?
There's a couple of reasons. Economy-wise, you know, people coming out of college, the jobs don't pay what they used to. Everyone needs three jobs to make ends meet. So you find a lot of people, and college people, just a lot of people are so aware and intelligent these days, they want to, instead of putting their money into a hole, being rent, or being in a debtor's prison with a 30-year mortgage, they're figuring, why don't I buy or build a tiny house for a little money as time and money allows, and I have something that I actually own. There's people who want to get back to using their hands in a very technologically inundated and advanced era where a lot of that's lacking from people's jobs and lives these days. And there's something to be said for getting outside and, like, using your body and building and using your mind. And environmentally, that ties into it, too, you know, which is also with cost. Tiny houses are cheaper to build. They're less site invasive. They're cheaper to heat, maintain, furnish. You know, you can't impulse buy crud in the supermarket checkout lane all the time because there's no room for it, so you're saving money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's really a ton of reasons.
Well, you know, my mom, God rest her soul, did that about 13 years ago in the backyard of my house. I have her she office.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a 15 by 20, what she calls her little workshop.
Okay.
And it has enough room for a tiny refrigerator. There's a coffee pot that's still in there. She had a floor heater inside it. And she did her arts and crafts inside it with two windows and a door. And it was perfect, still perfect.
That's fantastic. Because a lot of people rent, like, art studio space and spend big dollars for it when you could just build something. If you had the space in your backyard and own it and, you know, deck it out how you want, you're not, like, under the evil thumb of a landlord.
Right. No kidding. Well, you know, the like you said, the book goes all over the place in terms of the creativity that people have invested into their tiny homes and whatnot. One of the ones that I really like are the homes on wheels.
Yeah, those are really popular these days. And that started as a loophole where people like Jay Schaefer, who founded Tumbleweed Tiny House Company, now runs Four Lights Tiny Houses. Way back, he kind of realized, and he's like the modern, you could say, pioneer or father of tiny houses. He realized if you put a tiny house in wheels, it technically isn't permanent, so in most areas you can get away with having it as someone would park an RV. And then in Iowa at the time, you're not allowed to camp out for more than 30 days at a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided, A, who's counting, and B, if they're gonna, I'll stay in it 29 nights, and every, you know, 30th night, I'll go stay with friends or in a hotel and reset the clock. With all the money I've saved, it's not going to be a problem either. So,
there's a portion in your book, the one called the Wolf's Den, the treehouse.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued by that because I always thought that you needed a massive tree in order for it to be the foundation to your treehouse. And here you're using four almost what looks like to me saplings, but they're not quite saplings, are they?
No, you know what? That photo is actually deceiving. So if you look in that photo, I believe to the left, it looks like this little bent tree is holding up one of the corners. That
right.
tree is actually like a foot and a half away from it. It's just really close.
Oh.
We wanted to leave that one there. We were going to clear that out, but I'm like, nah, just leave it. It gives some depth to your vision when you're looking out the window from within. It's actually held by one large oak and then two posts. So technically, to the treehouse purists, it's not a treehouse if you have any posts at all.
Yeah.
Some go so far as to say if it's not 20 feet in the air, it's not a treehouse. But for all intents and purposes, it's attached to a tree and up in the air and surrounded by trees. It's a treehouse.
In here, you have this curious page called Hammers or the Deke versus Dustin Debate. You want to elaborate on that?
You're the first person who actually brought that up and talked about that. It's funny. That's kind of a glossary of terms that you come to build with someone for a long time. And my brother, we're 3 years apart. He's my right-hand man on a lot of workshops we host and a lot of the builds we do and all the stuff we do with HGTV, DIY. I brought him into the fold to build. So you build with someone or work with someone long enough, you start developing your own slang and lingo. And some of the terms I was using without thinking at workshops or in conversations with people I didn't know, and they're like, what does that mean? And I realized, like, oh, that's our made-up language. I'm so used to using it. I should explain. So we did this two-page section in the book just for the sake of humor with all these terms that are just made up that him and I use as shorthand that are just naturally developed through the years.
Well, that's cool because, you know, it now it all makes sense because the bucket list, so to speak, of all the tools you need in order to build a tiny house actually should be in everybody's toolkit. You know, the push drill, the demolition tool, the nail set, the whole nine yards, all of this should actually be in somebody's toolkit. It was in my dad's.
Yeah, and those tools, they don't break down like some of the old stuff. And that's what I'm trying to talk about in that chapter. We're like, don't overlook the old-fashioned tools. Old-fashioned doesn't mean bad. It just means, look at it, some of the old Cadillacs. You run that thing into a wall, the wall might lose. So it's all about, like, just hearkening back and reevaluating or potentially incorporating some old tools into your arsenal. And those tools are great for the off-grid building we do because they're hand drills. They require no power or batteries. They're pretty much indestructible. They're small enough. And you can find them at yard sales for, like, $2 a pop. So it's a win-win-win right there.
When you go out to do this, to create your little space, your micro shelter, if you will. One of the things that I like that you talk about in here is budgeting and salvaging. It's amazing how many people forget how to salvage all kinds of goodies.
Yeah, to me it's important. I think not only does it save me money, like I pride myself on being, like when I do treehouse jobs, I can offer some pretty reasonable prices because I get to incorporate some salvage into them.
Mm-hmm.
So it widens my potential customer base, let's call it. You know, cause some people are like, oh, I can't spend X amount of dollars in a treehouse. But if they have some windows or doors kicking around I can use or I find some stuff, I can lower that price. But not only that, I'm keeping stuff at a landfills, and at the same time, I'm infusing a lot of individuality and character into a build that you're not going to find in some hot, off-the-shelf, carbon-copied, mass-produced product you find at some stores.
I agree. I'm looking at the picture of this salad bowl pendant light that you created, and it's amazing how many people will overlook that salad bowl at a garage sale and not even think that you could use that as part of your decoration.
Well, that cost $1, and I wanted a certain color for that treehouse, that one with all the artwork in it.
Mm-hmm.
And like on the fly, I'm like, you know what? I saw a salad bowl. I'm like, boom, that's my light shade right there. It cost me $1, and it's the exact color I want. And it's lightweight, too. So I just drilled a hole through the salad bowl with a hole saw kit and threaded in an IKEA light set, and it looks great.
I like your thought, man. Now, here's the deal. I know people who listen to this right now are thinking, well, I want to go ahead and start doing this. What do they need to do in order to kind of, like, plan their little tiny house?
Kind of depends on your approach. I mean, salvage-wise, if sometimes I let the materials dictate the build. I'll find some fantastic window that's stained glass or really ornate, and I'll design the rest of the cabin or a space in it around that. So if you go in the salvage approach, just start collecting now while being reasonable about it. You don't want to become the neighborhood hoarder and they condemn your house because your yard's filled with, like, sticks, junk, and pallets.
Right.
That's not going to be good and counterproductive to the movement, I suppose. But I would really just go out there first, watch all the videos you can. Of course, purchase micro shelters. Waka waka. No, and just exhaust all avenues of just influence and inspiration, because you want to know and plot out what you're going to build so that when you go and do it, you're not missing anything. And really plot out, you know, what do you use on a day-to-day basis? What's the flow of my house have to be? Just really do a lot of planning to make sure that space, in terms of visual space, storage, and your physical movement, is going to work for you and your lifestyle.
Yeah, it took my mom about a year to figure out exactly what she wanted for her little tiny house, and it turned out perfectly. I mean, when she passed, I wound up turning it into a photo studio. So, you know.
That's great. And another thing people overlook, too, is like the site, the building site for it. Where's the arc of the sun in the winter? You want to take advantage of that passive solar heat. And in the summer, you don't want that. You know, can I position it under a conifer or a deciduous tree? You know, like, where's privacy? Where's, you know, am I in too much in a valley where it's going to be cold and shadowy? So, you know, there's a lot. You just want to take your time and make sure it's the right spot and you're doing it right.
Okay. And my last question to you, you know, I look at a tiny home and I'm thinking that we probably in this country could solve a lot of the homeless issues if we just took a huge plot of land and started creating tiny homes for homeless individuals.
Yeah.
Is this a private sector or a public sector enterprise, or should it be both?
I think it'd have to be a mix of both. I mean, you're going to find a lot of people, while on paper it might be a good idea or seem simple, you're going to find a lot of people who are like, oh, that's great, but as long as it's not close to me, I don't want this Hooverville next to me or these shacks, Mexico City shacks. While some of them don't realize how nice these tiny houses can look and how some of these houses, while they bring in less in tax dollars per square foot, these people with the money saved, this is not even the homeless, but people in general, have this extra disposable income. And I know because I live in a pretty modest-sized house, and I eat out all the time. I spend money at mom-and-pop shops in town all the time because I live so frugally and cheaply, housing-wise. So they don't realize that that's one of the benefits of these people coming and living small. They're going to have all this extra money to spend in the community.
See, that's something that we're looking at here in El Paso, is to try to create a community of tiny homes.
Yeah, El Paso, I looked in the land there once. There's some plots out there that are very reasonable, and the thought has crossed my mind.
Don't you worry about a thing. Deke, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I'll probably be knocking on your door a little later on so we can talk more about these micro shelters, but I want to let people know that your book is the hottest thing on Amazon right now.
Yeah, it's doing well, and thank you to all those out there who have supported me, who check out my videos on YouTube, and who have picked up a copy. I really appreciate it. The book took so long to put together. I can't even tell you. It was like a couple years, so I'm glad people are digging it.
Deke, have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for joining us on El Paso Primetime.
Thank you so much. Take care.